With Dr. Sheila Redfern, who's a consultant, clinical child and adolescent psychologist, and also author of Reflective Parenting, Raising Emotionally Healthy Children. Sheila, it's great to talk to you. What do we know about the psychological impacts of social media on children? What effect does it have on them?
It affects partly depending on the gender and the age of the child or young person. But one of the things that we know quite certainly is that it increases anxiety amongst young people because it encourages comparison and competition and frequently leaves young people feeling not good enough and doubtful of their own ability or attractiveness or a whole range of other sort of personal, physical and psychological characteristics. And just in keeping with what was just being said, it's also true that young people do feel relieved when they are relieved of their phones. So there was a very interesting study a while back at a school in Wimbledon, a girls' school, where the head teacher did a sort of a little experiment to take the phones off adolescent girls for a week to see how they would feel without their phones. And when the end of that trial period came up and they were given their phones back, some of the young people were really upset and said, "We don't want our phones back. We feel much better without them." It's just that children and young people aren't being given those opportunities to have a life without a phone often. So there are many, many negative consequences. That's not to say they're not some positives for some young people who are in supportive groups that support them with their mental health or with their own identities. It's not a wholly negative picture, but certainly mental health difficulties, particularly anxiety and mood, have been impacted significantly since young people have had access to smartphones.
And do you think that content is getting even more and more stressful as well?
I do, because the kind of content that young people are talking to me about include things about worry about global politics, about the potential for a war in Europe, for example, is a current conversation I hear amongst young people. They're getting that news from platforms, social media platforms, and it's feeding into an anxiety about their futures. And that's a real thing that young people talk to each other about. And if they happen to see me as their psychologist, they talk to me about it. But I think the number one thing is that it does feed into this sense of comparison with others. And we know that that impacts self-esteem massively. So to be without that comparison, to not know what your peers are doing all the time, and to not feel that you've got to compare yourself to everybody who's more successful than you in the world, keeps your focus on the things that you feel good about for yourself. And I think the phone culture and the social media culture, it doesn't support self-esteem. It actually supports comparison and feeling somehow inadequate compared to others.
I heard another commentator this morning comparing it as well. They were talking about children who are revising for exams or essays or tests or whatever it is, and they're focusing on that, but with their phone, something is pinging at every moment of the day, whether that be a photo app, a messaging app, whether that be something, a video. It seems it's constant. It's like you can't sometimes get away from it.
Yeah, well, I mean, what you've just highlighted is that distractibility, and that's another thing that not just social media, but just having a smartphone does, is it's constantly feeding things that are entertaining. They are stimulating for young people and adults. Let's not pretend this is just a problem for young people. There's a lot of evidence now that most of us can only concentrate for 3 minutes at a time before we're distracted by something else. Now, that's clearly not enough time to focus on anything to any sort of substantial degree. And if a child's meant to be studying or meant to be reading something or even watching something that's educational, to think that they're being distracted every 3 minutes at the minimum, it means that they're never really giving their full attention to anything. And that's actually, we're seeing a lot more young people requesting ADHD diagnoses, a lot of parents worrying about their children's distractibility. And that's partly being fed by this culture where none of us are really paying attention to anything for any long period of time or giving it much depth of thought. And deep thought is something that I think a lot of young people don't have anymore.
I'm sure you've heard the critics who are against any move to ban under 16s from accessing social media. Some of the arguments being that as with anything that gets banned, it pushes it underground to the side. It shuts parents out of actually monitoring what their children are doing, and it won't actually stop them trying to access those platforms. What do you say to that?
Well, I think the jury's out on that. We don't know that's for sure. I mean, if you think about other bans, you know, the smoking ban hasn't forced people to secretly try and smoke in the corners of pubs or restaurants. They just don't do it because it's banned. So I'm not sure there's compelling evidence that if you ban things, people try and do it secretly. I think that's possibly an argument just for not doing anything. But I think there's substantial evidence that an increased amount of time on devices and smartphones does increase anxiety and depression. So that stronger evidence. I think the other is purely speculative, and I think, you know, it remains to be seen what the impact is on the young children in Australia who have this ban. But other bans haven't led to necessarily to people doing things in a kind of subversive way. That said, we don't have a current ban, and I think what parents can do, and I talk about this a lot in my book, is have more of a conversation with their child or adolescent about the kind of things that they're looking at on their phones, about the kind of platforms they're on, about what they enjoy and what makes them anxious. And I think there's a real reluctance, I hear a lot in my clinic, there's a real reluctance on the part of parents to even ask those open questions or even think they have a right to ask their child what they're doing on their phone. And that's a big problem, you know, that we have to tackle here and now, is to open up those conversations where parents feel they can ask their child, what is it you're looking at? Or what is it you enjoy? Tell me a bit more about it. Teach me a bit about it. Because parents are massively lagging behind their children here in terms of their understanding of the technology.